Cyclone Fanatic. The Cyclone Fanatic podcast starts now.
Welcome to the Cyclone Fanatic podcast. Your weekly audio tour inside, outside, and all around the Iowa State University athletic programs. The Cyclone Fanatic podcast is powered by Iowa's most recommended realtor, Mark Charter. No other realtor comes close to offering the level of service and amenities provided by Mark Charter. Buying or selling a home in your future? Check out markcharter.com. And now, on with the show. Please welcome your hosts, Chris Williams, Adam Gray, and Mark Charter.
Happy Friday, Cyclone Nation. Welcome to the latest installment of the FAW podcast presented by Mark Charter Real Estate. Mark Charter, do you like the FAW thing that we've branded, or should we kick that to the curb? Because this is really your baby.
I don't mind it.
Do you like it or do you not mind it? Because it's kind of awkward for me to say.
I call it FA.
FA.
That's what it is. I'm totally in tune with a better name. Yeah. If we come up with one.
I'm trying to get in everybody's. I want to make them feel like they're in college again.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? That's the branding.
But
we're like a bunch of old wannabe dudes at this point in our lives where we want to be going to Friday after class, but we just can't.
You know how you can tell I'm old? Tell the audience what I'm drinking right now as we record this.
He's got a big jug. So Mark comes in and he bought me some Sam Adams Winter Lager. Thank you for that.
You bet.
I appreciate that.
Yep.
And he comes in and he's got this big jug of milk. It's a carton of milk.
It's a quart. It's a quart. Big quart.
And I go, oh, do you want to just store that in the fridge while we're recording? And he's like, no, I'm actually going to drink it.
I love milk. Love it, man.
Doesn't that make...
Then Adam foolishly asked me if I'm going to be able to drink this during the podcast.
The entire thing.
To which I laugh. Yeah, of course. This will be gone.
I forgot how manly you are.
Look at the beard, man. You know, I can grow some facial hair.
So. I like it. Adam Gray, what's up with you?
Not a lot, man. Just I'm excited to be on two podcasts this week.
Two?
Yeah. Two, yeah.
We got desperate earlier in the week. Just kidding, buddy.
No, you're not.
I didn't understand this. It's not Iowa State. It's the Big 12. From a PR marketing standpoint, I have no idea why they did this. But they released the 2015 schedule 2 days ago. Usually, that's something you want to save for, you know, mm-hmm. spring football, to keep your name in the news, to keep headlines coming. But they freaking did it in the middle of November. It doesn't make any sense to me. So usually if something like that is about to happen, I have a good idea and I can kind of plan ahead. That came out of nowhere. So I'm like, great, we got to do a podcast. We got to get some reaction to this.
What number on the list of people you called was I?
You were number one.
I was number one?
Yeah, because I knew you'd give me a real opinion, honestly.
Yeah.
That's why I called you.
I appreciate that.
No, you're number one.
You're higher up the speed dial than I am. Feel flattered.
Yeah, you'll get there. You know, I've been around for a while.
I'm the guy. I'm bringing them beer. You know, I show up on time every week.
Don't worry, brother. You just went up the speed dial.
Boom.
Yeah, absolutely.
I love it.
So that threw me off big time. Do you guys agree with me on that, though? Because we're gonna start with football. We don't need to really get into the schedule. But like, that's like PR 101. Especially in today's media, where everybody's competing year round. I don't get why you would release your schedule in the middle of November. That makes no sense
to me. It seems odd that they would do it when people are so busy with everything else.
Yes.
Holiday season and basketball and the whole.
Yeah, and deal. Your football season. You've got two teams that are playoff contenders right now.
Yeah.
It boggles my mind. But anyways.
I think you're making it a bigger issue than it is. I mean,
it's not an issue. It's just dumb. Like any marketing and public relations professional in the world can look at that and say that's a foolish move.
Mm-hmm. Let's say they waited and did it in the spring. Is it going to get them that much play if they release it? I mean, people talk about it for what, a couple hours and then it's over with,
right? The point is nobody's talking about you anyways in the spring, so now you've given them a reason to.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. That's the point. They're already talking about you right now.
Well, no, they did us a solid, though, us fans. Now we can start planning our trips because now we know when we're going to Texas.
Yeah, because people are just begging for Iowa State football road trips right now. I mean,
I am.
It's not good for our bus trips.
No. No.
The bus trips on which you're what, 0-4 now? The bad luck bus trip.
1-4, 4 games.
1-4. Okay. Yeah. Okay. Get it right.
1-4.
Get it right, Mark.
I stand corrected. The Mark, 20% winning percentage.
Not good.
Love it.
Hey, Mark, I was curious about this. Mm-hmm. I was legitimately thinking about this the other day. My wife and I are happy in our home, but she's always the type that's like, you know, she's always thinking about, well, what if we move?
Mm-hmm.
So we bought new appliances.
Yep.
And my wife was giving me this whole spiel on, well, you know, we're going to have to buy these anyway if we're ever going to move. We're going to have to buy these anyways if we're ever going to have to move. Is that true? Like when you're working the house deal, like how many people are like, okay, I need a new appliance. We need new appliances before we're moving into this house.
In most cases, they're probably not saying that. So when I...
So I was right.
You're probably right. When I list a house... one of the main questions I ask the person that owns the house is, what are you leaving behind? And if they're crappy appliances, I almost hope that they'll say, we're taking them with. But most people, at a minimum, I want to see them leave what I call the kitchen four, which are your microwave, stove, dishwasher, fridge. And then as an added bonus, if you can get the washer dryer, then you got the big six, which is nice. But I think most people that are buying a house don't immediately plan to replace appliances unless they're awful. And if they're that bad, the seller may actually think about replacing them before they sell. So it's not such a turnoff.
Mm-hmm.
So you're more right than your wife.
That's good.
Does she listen to this?
No, God no.
She will now.
Yeah.
I don't need to apologize.
No, but her folks, this is where she gets this in her head. And this actually happened. This was in Southwest Iowa, a really small town. So it's tough to sell.
Mm-hmm.
It's really tough. It doesn't matter what kind of house you, just because there's not many people moving into this area.
Yeah.
And their realtor, they put it on the market. Their realtor comes back to them in like a day and was like, get new appliances. I got it sold. It was just so, like, Ashley has it in her mind now. Like, well, you're going to have.
That's the magic.
Yeah. You got to have new appliances no matter what.
Yeah. Fortunately, there's people that want to move into places like Ankeny and Bondurant.
Yeah.
So it's a little bit different here.
A little less stressful.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Well, other expertise on. We should actually open this up if you're like selling your house or you're going to buy a house and you have questions for Mark. How about we do that? We open that up.
Sure.
We could have like questions of the week, like for realtors out there. That'd be great.
Could have anything. Yeah. So the people on Cyclone Fanatic have been very nice so far. I've gotten several emails. In fact, I don't know how many, 10, 11, 12 emails from people saying, hey, you're doing a good job and welcome to the family. And
they genuinely like
stuff.
You.
So that's good.
Yeah.
That's good. I still haven't said like something really dumb, and it's probably going to happen at some point. But
that's probably going to be when we go
like,
to that.
We're like, what, 3 weeks in, and so far I'm doing pretty good.
We're going to go to that brewery and drink during the podcast, though. So when we do that, that's probably when the dumb comments come.
I won't drink milk. I'll drink beer for sure. So, no, it's been a warm welcome. So, yeah, if anybody listening to this has any questions about anything related to real estate, you can find me. I'm out there, markcharter.com.
Mark, what's your email?
Email is also simple, mark@markcharter.com.
And I don't want to screw up your Twitter handle.
Twitter's Iowa Real Estate.
Gotcha.
Yep.
All right.
Easy to find. No matter how you look, you'll find me eventually.
All right. Iowa State plays Texas Tech this weekend. I truly don't, and I'm not even trying to be like negative, kick them when they're down. I'm trying not to be that guy, but I don't see the point in much analysis on this football game unless either of you object and you want to chime in and if you have like a strong opinion on tomorrow's game.
The only thing to know, in my opinion, is, well, two things. One, the hottest coach in America, physically speaking, will be in Ames on Saturday for the ladies.
Fred Hoiberg, right?
Not Fred Hoiberg. Oh. For once.
Cliff Kingsbury?
Are you not aware of like the demand for this guy from the ladies?
Oh, they love him. The Ryan Gosling.
He looks like Ryan Gosling.
Yes.
Yeah. So he is clearly the best looking coach in America, hands down. So there you go, ladies. Go out and check that out, I guess.
I wonder if he's as hot to them when he's all bundled up and
where to park up. Although it's going to be the mid-40s.
Yeah. It's so not, I wish for Iowa State's standpoint, it would be
colder.
Like 20.
The other takeaway is this: Texas Tech stinks. And you know how I know this? Because Iowa State is a 1-point favorite in that game. So Texas Tech is awful. That's what you need to know.
I think, follow betting lines more so than Adam or I. Mm-hmm. I'm very into it. I think it's fascinating. I actually asked Ken Miller, who's very into
it. Oh, yeah. He knows a lot.
What was your reaction when you saw Iowa State come out as a 3-point favorite in this game? What did you think was going through the odds maker's mind?
One, again, the Texas Tech stinks. And two, I think on an early line, they're probably thinking no motivation on the part of Texas Tech to win. They're not playing for anything. Going to the northernmost city. Cold game, not going to play well. Those were the two things that jumped out immediately. And frankly, it's just a toss-up between garbage teams. I hate to say it. This is an Iowa State podcast, but we're awful.
We want people to be honest.
We're awful.
Yeah.
So, I think I do speak for the fans on that.
You
one.
Do.
We're just bad.
Nobody is going to come at you for that.
Yeah, we're bad. So
if you came on here and said, "Hey, you know what? Guys are still playing really hard," yeah. And I think that would get you more flack than saying Iowa State stinks.
Talk about a toss-up game, though. If Iowa State wins, I'm not shocked. But if Texas Tech wins by 28, I'm also not shocked.
I would agree.
So, for the record, I'm not betting the Iowa State-Texas Tech game. No read on it whatsoever.
What do you think, Gray?
On the game?
Yeah. Do you agree with what Mark just said? Do you?
I mean, it's two teams fighting for not last place in the Big 12, right?
I mean, I think I already said this on our podcast earlier this week. I think Kansas is the 7th best team. They might be 6th right now. I actually think Kansas would beat Oklahoma State if they played tomorrow. I truly do. And I think you've got Iowa State, Texas Tech, like you just said. Loser of this game is the worst.
6th, though, so they're still passing another team. You
think 7th, okay.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I had my numbers
you've
mixed
always
up.
Been higher on Kansas for the last 4 or 5
Dude,
years than me.
They're playing well right now.
You're taking like two games. You look at two games.
National title contender? Yeah. They damn near beat them?
They hurt TCU big time.
Yeah, they did.
In that game. Yeah, TCU won, but they hurt them.
Yeah, I'm saying they're playing hard for that coach. Mm-hmm. You know who he reminds me of? He reminds me of Paul Rhodes when he first got to Ames, because it's like he's the hometown guy mm-hmm. in Lawrence, and everybody's rallying behind him, and they're playing their asses off for him. That's what's going on at Kansas right now.
He reminds me of that Stewart, who came in and was the interim coach for West Virginia.
Yeah, that was a disastrous
hire.
And
then they hired him.
Yeah.
And then it ended up being terrible.
I don't think Kansas should – well, they maybe should hire this guy. It's Kansas. Who better are they going to get?
Yeah, it's not like West Virginia can go get a good coach. Kansas can't. So, yeah, it probably wouldn't be a bad hire. The kids obviously play hard for him.
Yeah. I don't know if he can recruit, but –
but for the game Saturday, I don't know what to expect. I mean, the team hasn't shown up to start a game since the very first game of the season. Like I told you on the podcast the other day, too, I think you'll learn a lot about if this team is quit by the first quarter.
Oh, absolutely.
They haven't started a game good. But, I mean, if you can't start after you got your butts kicked against Kansas, you're coming off a bye week. If you can't come out of the gates and just put up forth a good effort.
Couldn't agree more.
Then this team is done. They're not going to compete in any of the other two games. I don't like this game for Iowa State because Texas Tech can score. Where they stink is their defense stinks, but Iowa State hasn't shown any ability so far this year to take advantage of a poor defense.
Yeah.
So Webb's back now for Texas Tech, right?
Yep.
He'll throw for 5 touchdowns.
Allegedly. But
allegedly.
Yeah, we don't know. You know how injuries are these days, but I'm anticipating he plays.
I think even if Iowa State was given – the defensive codes from Texas Tech and knows their plays, I still don't think they can stop them.
I probably
scoring
agree.
Them. So I don't think it's going to be good. I hope I'm wrong. I really do, Chris. I hope that I'm wrong, but I am officially.
It would have to be like the Texas game, except Iowa State pulls it out. It's going to be if Iowa State wins.
I think it'll be close.
They got to score 40, don't they? They have to score 40 points.
Yeah. I don't know. I mean, Texas Tech's really bad, too.
Yeah, but they score.
Yeah, I know. I mean, I outlined that the other day on our podcast, the amount of points that they've scored in every single game.
I mean,
but a lot of times, though, like I was looking at like the over on this game because I thought it was an intriguing over. Potentially, the number was like 67. And I'm like, I mean, how many times when you see two really bad teams, though, with horrible defenses, and you just expect them to score a bunch, but they're just so bad, they're turning the ball over, they're, you know, and it just gets so sloppy, and they can't put up that number. Yeah. That was going to be one of my picks today, and then I talked myself out of it, because I could totally see this just being such a crappy game where these, you know, these teams get down to the 10-yard line, and they, you know, they're fumbling, and they're
throwing picks.
Yeah, I mean,
yeah.
Big numbers like that just scare me. I don't care how bad the defenses are.
I think the over has actually gone up to 71 now.
Is it up to 71?
I just don't think you can trust Iowa State enough in a game like that for an over on the offensive side of the ball.
No.
They're too unpredictable. they just are. I'm staying away from it.
I don't blame you. Should we get to our picks and then talk a little basketball?
Sure.
Let's do it.
So last week, Adam, you're the one that keeps up the standings. I went 3-2. Mark, you went 3-2.
Welcome to the winner's circle, by the way.
Hey, second time.
Boom.
I'm 2-3, but I went 0-4 in week two. So that really negates everything. It cancels everything out.
Yeah.
Adam, what were you?
I was 2-3.
You were 2-3.
Yeah, okay. It was a rough week. Remind
That's
me, guys.
It's not bad, though. I mean, in the whole scheme of things, it's
Steelers. Steelers burned you a little bit.
Yeah, you know, I had a lot of games that started good. Alabama was up 19-0. They got backdoored in the last seconds of that game. But at the same time, South Carolina had no business winning that game, and I got that.
Did I see, Mark, you may know this.
Yeah.
Is Alabama 2-7 against the number this year? I'm going to look that up.
I have not. No, I've not seen that.
I swear I saw that this week.
That would not surprise me. My biggest takeaways, though, so Gray did say that South Carolina would win that game outright.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And they were +7, so he got that one. My call of the week, well, two of them. My lock of the year came through.
It did.
Florida State. And people asked me if I was nervous at halftime about that.
No, that's Florida State. Yeah.
They're a second half team. I'm not nervous. They'll come back. My other one, though, my prediction that came true, although Gurley went down, was I said Georgia would roll
in that game.
And they did roll in that game. So that was my predictions of the week.
Yeah, we both had – I had that one, too, because we argued about it at length. Adam and I did off the air.
We did.
I thought that I had Nebraska losing.
Yeah.
I didn't see that coming, though. I thought Wisconsin would win by like a touchdown.
You didn't see the 408 yards and three quarters coming?
No. Alabama, here's one for you. 2-7-1 against the spread this year.
Wow. Mm.
And that's a team who many people believe will win the national title. But they don't bet them.
You watch any of those top four teams? Usually at this time of year, there's like two teams that really stand out as the dominant forces in college football. Yeah. There's not one team this year, I don't think.
Here's more credit to you, Mark, on the Florida State one. And I believe we all three picked that, so we had a good read on it.
Yeah.
Florida State's 3-7 against the number this year.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They're not a good team to bet.
And leading into the picks, I was going to say, too, that once again, maybe foolishly, I'm going with Florida State. And they got a big number this week, too. So
at home against Boston College?
At home against BC, yeah.
You want to start? You want to give your picks?
Sure.
Let's do that.
So Florida State, -17 at BC. The thought is a couple of things. One, it's at home. Two, it's BC. Not strong, in my opinion. Three, exactly the thing that we're talking about. I think Florida State, all they probably have to do is win. But I also think that looking impressive helps. And they haven't.
Yeah.
This year. No. They continue to win and win close games. They need to roll somebody. And I think BC is a good candidate for that to happen. So Florida State -17.
What is Florida State's most impressive win to date?
Earlier I would have said it was Okie State when they played, but Okie State stinks.
Terrible.
No.
I think at Miami. Or at Louisville, too. I mean, those are about the same.
But they had to come back, so it wasn't even an impressive win against Louisville.
No, but that's how bad the ACC is. Yeah. It's a commentary on how crappy the ACC is.
Clemson just got rolled against Georgia Tech.
I might argue this. Florida State has no impressive wins this year, but they've won.
Yeah.
And they've had the target on their back, and that's enough.
Yep.
So, okay, moving along.
Those are still good wins, though, going to Louisville and to Miami. They're not great wins. They're good wins.
They're okay wins, yeah.
Yeah.
All right.
But for the ACC standard, it's a great win.
Oh, it's big time.
Notre Dame, they beat Notre Dame, but they're kind of falling off the planet.
Who just lost to Northwestern at home.
They very questionably beat Notre Dame. I mean, Notre Dame probably should have won that game. That penalty call is one that does not get called most of the time. Yeah. So
Clemson should have beat Florida State, too.
Yeah, so I don't know. I mean,
that call reminds me, I was telling somebody this last Saturday night, that Notre Dame call reminds me of when the Braves got that infield fly called against them.
I remember that.
In that playoff game against because it's like, sure, technically it probably was.
Yeah, but at that point in the game, you probably don't call it.
In my life, I've never seen an infield fly called in Major League Baseball other than that.
Yeah.
I'm sure there have, but I've never watched a game and seen it happen.
Yeah. Okay. Road dog, we talked about this before, a very good road dog, Kansas State. +2.5 over West Virginia.
I love it.
You and your Thursday night picks for a Friday after work podcast.
They creep up on me. I'm not doing it by design, but K-State's had 2 weeks to prepare. West Virginia, as the quarterback goes so goes West Virginia. But K-State's got a good defense. I think they're ticked off.
You want a good stat?
Sure.
For this to support you?
Yeah.
I didn't take this in my picks, but I did in our Cyclone Fanatic. Kansas State has outscored West Virginia by 64 points the last two seasons.
There you go.
Wow.
There you go.
Bill Snyder, ownage.
So when I say K-State plus 2.5, that means K-State wins the game. And I think
you're going money line, baby. And money line.
I think they will win the game.
Yes.
All right. Three NFL picks, switching things up a little bit.
Yeah.
I'm going to go anti-Adam Gray and go against the Browns
this week.
Falcons at home -3
over
Cleveland.
No Browns.
You know
Mark
what, guys?
Charter.
Next time I go to take the Browns, please talk me out of it.
Throw something at you.
I mean, here, let's just do this for a second. The Browns were coming off. They had three extra days to prepare for that game because they played on Thursday night.
Yeah.
Ryan Mallett was the quarterback.
Yeah.
Arian Foster was out, and they lost at home to Houston by what? 3 touchdowns?
Yeah, but you know why? Did you happen to see Houston's new wide receiving threat that they threw to for Mallett's first NFL touchdown?
I did. Very, very big guy.
Very big guy wearing number 99. That guy is all over the field.
He's
love
unbelievable.
It. Love it, love it. All right, so this one is iffy. I don't feel strong about it solely based on injuries, but Broncos -7 against Miami at Denver. It's going to be a little bit contingent on Emmanuel Sanders and Julius Thomas playing still at Denver. Broncos looked pathetic last week.
Yeah.
Dolphins, I don't think, are going to play that well in this game, so Broncos -7.
Isn't Denver a team where, I know they're all banged up, but like they're good enough where eventually they're going to start winning again?
They're good enough, and I've never liked Ryan Tannehill for the Dolphins, and on the road, I think he throws a couple picks, et cetera. So I don't love it because of the injuries, but I love it enough to pick it here. And lastly, Cowboys -3 at New York. Two words, Eli Manning. That's all I need to say.
Not a fan
about that game.
You weren't
five
impressed.
Five picks.
Yeah, that didn't impress you.
Five picks last game. So, and everybody thought when the Cowboys last played, which was in Europe, that they were going to stink. They looked good. They threw the ball to Dez Bryant a lot. Mm-hmm. He had a great game. Cowboys are clearly better than the Giants. So I'm going that direction.
I like it.
Gray, you're up because I'm still in the cellar. I have a feeling I'm going to be picking last for a while. I got a lot of ground to
you
cover.
Might be.
I'm hoping you stay down there.
Well, whatever. Just keep talking, Gray.
Yeah,
just
I know.
Like you did in your expert picks.
I'm now four games behind.
Yeah, Gray got like he was in first place for 1 week.
Yeah, a couple.
He goes weeks. On Twitter and just a rampage talking all this trash to everybody and just collapse.
You gotta talk while you can, buddy.
Dude, winning money, by the way, is great, but talking smack is better, in my opinion.
I completely agree.
Gray could do that with the best. I've never met a human being, and I mean this in a complimentary way.
Oh, thanks. I appreciate that.
We do this fantasy golf league.
Oh, jeez.
This was 2 years ago. This is a blast, by the way, if you want to get in on
it.
The best fantasy sport you'll ever play.
Okay.
And I have pretty much been running the table, right? There's like 4 weeks left.
Yeah.
I have been in first place. I had a very comfortable lead. Gray had a guy get like second or third, and I didn't place that week or something. Mm-hmm. Or my guy didn't score much.
No, it was when Hunter Mahan left because his wife was pregnant.
That's what happened. So I had Hunter Mahan picked, and he's killing everybody by like 9 strokes. He's going to have his kid, and he walks off the course.
Nice.
So, of course, I lose it because I'm still at that time. It's before I know I'm going to be a father, and I just can't comprehend why you would just leave $2 million on the table.
Yeah.
The kid's going to be there. I'd rather get the $2 million and have his education paid for in his first house than whatever. So Gray thinks it's hilarious. And Gray calls and leaves this – I don't know if it was drunken, but it was really jacked up voicemail. Just, you know – obscenities, just talking all this smack towards me that he's coming for me. It's all over. My time is done.
This story.
What'd you end up getting, like fifth?
Second, actually. Thank you. Thank you. I did get second.
But you're good. I'm complimenting you.
Yeah, I appreciate that. I don't remember the obscenities, but I'm sure I did throw a couple in there.
I'm sure you did.
For the record, though, Hunter Mahan made the right call. Since you're about to have your first child, there's nothing in the world that should prevent you from being there for your
$2 million.
No, I'm sorry. I'm playing golf.
My wife and I, I'm just saying, man,
the women go through so much when they have a baby.
But my wife and I have actually had this conversation. We did when it happened. Now, this was before she was pregnant.
Yeah.
So I don't know if she would still feel this way. And she's like, no, I would rather you get the $2 million.
I don't know.
She seriously said that. I actually gained a lot of, I love my wife even more. At that point, now that I know I'm going to be a father, I don't think there's anything in the world that could keep me from being there.
Yeah.
But I think you have a valid point with the $2 million.
Yeah.
And it is fair to say it was his first child. First child's always a little different. If it's your second or third and your
first child, for sure. And the other thing that you need to take into consideration is what do you have in your bank account at the time?
Yeah.
Well, and I'm sure he had a lot more than $2 million.
This is true. But if, like, my point is if you were to tell me, okay, you could have $2 million or you could, like, if I'm not an idiot with my $2 million, that's going to pay for my kids.
Yeah.
College. You know what I mean?
Hey, as long as your wife's on board, man, but I guarantee you she's going to want someone there to hold her hand through the process. So you need to find a sub.
No. I hope there aren't too many women listening to this because I'm like the heel now. No. I'm the villain.
I bet there's some, but there's... Yeah.
No, there are.
Hey,
I know
ladies.
We have. And they're going to be tweeting at me like, you're an ass, William.
Sexist.
Yeah. All right. Gray, what are your
picks? All right. I have been high on them all year, despite the fact that they can't win. They've actually done pretty good against the spread.
What a opening.
Well, Arkansas, I like them +3.5.
You do love Arkansas.
At home against Ole Miss. They're 8-2 against the spread. Only 5-5 have been able to close games. They did last week against, who did they play, LSU?
Yep.
And
yep.
I liked them in that
lost
game.
Lost that pick, yep.
I like them again this week against Ole Miss. Ole Miss, too, I mean, they're really going to struggle to score points now with Treadwell out with that snapped ankle, unfortunately.
Jeez, yep. Don't remind me.
Yeah, that one still stings. I like, and this really pains me to say, I like Tech at +1.5 against Iowa State.
Yeah.
Webb's back, and even if he's not back, the other quarterback threw for 4 touchdowns, 390 yards against Oklahoma last week.
It's hard to argue betting against Iowa State at this point. You know,
it is. Yeah.
It's hard to come across and say it, to even find a devil's advocate statement and say, Adam, you're wrong. I can't.
I mean, Kansas made our defense look terrible. What's Tech gonna do?
Kansas.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Iowa State's in a just kind of a tailspin right now, but it reminds me of, I never remember the season. It was probably around 2002 or so when Iowa State was having a garbage season. I mean, you may remember the actual season. I don't know if it was when they were 0-12 or whatever, but it was a bad season. And I had a couple buddies that had used to play on the team, and they were putting money against Iowa State every week because it didn't matter what the spread was. And I swear, every week the spread against the Clones was getting bigger and bigger. And they wouldn't cover it. Ever.
Yeah.
I mean, it was 28 one week and they didn't cover. Then 34 and they didn't cover. They're just getting hammered like every single week. This season has like that similar feel that it's just like going downhill, down the crapper.
Yeah.
And whatever the number is, bet on the favorite to cover it because Iowa State's not going to do it. Hopefully I'm wrong.
Well,
but I don't hate your pick.
That's the damnedest thing about this team though. If you look at them just by the number, mm-hmm. before the last 2 weeks, they were 5-0-1.
Mm-hmm.
They were really good against the spread.
Yeah.
But the last 2 weeks, I mean, I think the wheels have just fallen off.
And
it's hard to take that trend seriously after what we've seen.
And the thing is, if you're betting the game, if you're listening, you want to bet the game, the thing that keeps sticking in my mind is what that Cyclone insider told me when he was at the practice.
Yeah.
He said, no energy, no life, the players don't want to be there, blah, blah, blah. And this is a person that would know. That means something.
Yeah.
I mean, when your players are checked out emotionally and mentally and just kind of ready to call it a year, then you need passion to play football. You have to have it.
Especially when you've got nothing to play for.
Yeah, for sure.
There's not going to be many people in the game. I mean, the crowd's going to be awful.
No, yeah, which is disappointing because it sounds like we got a pretty good recruiting weekend. A lot of players came,
huge,
a lot of visitors. Yeah.
Yeah. Huge but recruiting weekend.
It really pains me to pick against the Cyclones there, but out of all the college games are very tough to pick this week. Mm-hmm. That was one that stood out to me.
Yep.
I like Notre Dame at -3 against Louisville. Notre Dame just lost an atrocious game against a really bad Northwestern team. I don't think it's going to be very hard for Kelly to get their focus. They're at home again. That game actually opened as a 9-point favorite. It's mm-hmm. now moved to 3, so I'm going against where the money's going. I'm going to take them. I don't think they win by much, maybe a 6-7-point win for Notre Dame.
One of the hardest teams to judge in the country, by the way, Northwestern. Beat Wisconsin, beat Notre Dame, and then got crushed at Iowa.
It doesn't make any sense.
Go figure.
But you know what? Pat Fitzgerald's a phenomenal coach. I mean, if you can get your team to respond...
Yeah.
After getting beat like they did against Iowa, that'd be nice to see Iowa State do that, wouldn't it?
I've got a man crush on Pat Fitzgerald.
He's a fantastic coach.
I think he's fantastic.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's a tough place, man.
It is.
That's
when you see it on TV, don't you always feel like you're watching something at a high school field?
Yeah.
It's got that tiny little feel to it.
I feel like I'm watching like a D3 playoff
game. I know.
Game.
I know.
Yeah.
And
it doesn't seem like they have players. When you watch them, they seem like they're out-athleted at every single position.
They are.
And they still, I mean, kudos to him.
Yep. They're kind of what I want Iowa State to be, where they're at least relevant.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, because Iowa State's never going to recruit, ever. Sorry.
People that smart, yeah, for one thing.
Well, they're never going to recruit at the level where you just expect to win 9 games.
Mm-hmm.
So what you got to do is, like what we're talking about with Fitzgerald, is to pick your spots, man.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And then, you know, I feel like at the beginning of the Rhodes era, we were seeing that. Now I just, you know, whatever.
Yep.
We don't need to dwell on it.
No.
But I think that's a good model for Iowa State, though.
I think so, too.
Yeah.
Yep. I like UCLA -4 against USC.
Where's that at?
It's at UCLA.
Not that it matters, but...
Yeah, UCLA's got... they've won 4 straight. They've still got a lot to play for. It looks like they're starting to kind of get going a little bit. And USC, they haven't been bad this year. They've just been very mediocre, mm-hmm. and I think that's a game where UCLA can still make a statement,
yeah,
and get them going into that Pac-12 title game. And then the last one, I'm switching over to the NFL, and it's the biggest line of the week in the NFL.
Mm. You love big NFL lines.
13.5?
I got it at 14, unfortunately, yeah.
Okay.
Colts -14 against the Jags at home.
Your boy Andrew Luck.
Andrew Luck and the Colts. I think he's only lost back-to-back games in the NFL once, and that was to start the season in his 3 years. They've already played the Jags. They won by 27 down at Jacksonville.
Yep.
And I think they got to make a statement, kind of get back as one of the top premier teams in the AFC. I think they win that by maybe 30.
That's got like 45-10, 45-17 written all over it. I agree.
And he, you know, they're going to pass it.
Yep.
He'll pass it 50 times in that game.
Plus, Bradshaw's out. They lost Bradshaw.
Bradshaw's out, yep.
Last week. So we're doing a great job of talking about basketball, by the way.
Yeah, I know.
It's like, no football today, baby. Then we're talking about it nonstop.
We love picks.
I know. The picks are fun, man.
Yeah, actually, we've got a lot of good feedback on Twitter about the people like the picks.
That's good.
Yeah. Okay, I'll give you my 5 quickly so we can talk Nebraska. We can talk hoops. I got Nebraska at -10 hosting Minnesota. The Huskers are 6-0 at home. I think Minnesota played up the last couple of weeks,
mm-hmm.
especially at home. Pelini has their attention. I like Nebraska by like 20 in that one. They're not nearly as bad as they looked. Now, this could go the other way, too. But I think Nebraska's better than that.
You mean they're not as bad as giving up 400 yards in 3 quarters?
Well, they're bad, but Minnesota's nowhere near
what
they saw last week.
Mm-hmm.
And it being at home, they're really good there. I like Baylor at 27.5 against Oklahoma State. I'm going to keep riding Baylor at home.
Huge number.
23 of their last 27 home games they've covered. Dax Garmon is awful and he's hurt. And Baylor is still trying to make the playoff. And my boy Briles will run it up.
The only thing that scares me a little bit, and I agree, Baylor's in a position to have to look good.
Mm-hmm.
No question about it. Oklahoma State's athletes scare me a little bit. Just junk touchdowns, et cetera. When you have a huge number like that, it's the junk touchdowns, it's the punt returns, it's the kickoff returns that you worry about to screw up that number.
Wasn't Oklahoma State the team that beat Baylor last year?
Yeah, they did.
So I feel like there's a revenge.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I actually like a 40-point win.
Okay.
I think Oklahoma State, man, I think he's lost them. I think they're toast.
Mm-hmm. Remember when people were saying that Dax Garmon was better than their starting quarterback?
That was everybody was saying that.
Yeah.
J.W. Walsh.
And
that's the difference. You talk about that the Bama game. Or who do they play? A Florida State game. J.W. Walsh was great. In
fantastic
that one.
Quarterback.
The Dax Garmon is a huge drop off.
Yeah, oh, absolutely. They would have 2 more wins if J.W. Walsh was their quarterback.
Couldn't agree more.
Because right now there's no confidence in that team, and it's all because of Dax Garmon.
What are the odds, by the way, that someone's written a headline somewhere in this country that says Garmon has lost his way? I'm just thinking the GPS time. You know,
that's great.
That is
I like
solid.
That.
Steal it, man.
I love it.
Run with it.
I love it. I got a buddy who. Who publishes at Oklahoma State site, I might send him.
There you go.
I might send him that.
There you go.
Okay, now this contradicts everything I said in the opening segment, but I like Oklahoma at 25, another big line against Kansas. This is more of a gut feeling than anything, but as I've noted, I feel like Kansas is playing very well right now. Oklahoma is – they haven't been. And they generally, when Oklahoma plays teams like equal talent to them, mm-hmm. they struggle. But when they play the Kansases and Iowa States of the world, they generally blow them out.
And Stoops likes to run it up.
Yeah, and he's pissed right now.
Yep.
And Kansas, like, sorry, dudes, it's been fun, but it's over this weekend. And I like Oklahoma probably by like 28 or something.
Mm-hmm.
This is one I'm just riding a streak because I'm not very good at this right now. So I'm riding a streak. Western Michigan at +1. Is at Central Michigan. Western Michigan, depending on where you look, is 10-0 against the spread this year. They're 9-1. It just depends on where you look. I'm going to take the streak, and I'm going to take Western Michigan, the best team in the MAC right now, depending on who you talk to. I've never seen either team play. I don't know what I'm getting into.
I was just going to ask you, what's Western Michigan's quarterback's name?
I have no idea. I'm riding a streak. I'm riding the streak. That's all I'm doing. 10-0 against the spread. How do you argue with that? I'm riding it.
Okay.
Got to let it ride. I did see Central Michigan play, and they lost to Kansas. It's one time I watched them.
I've been watching a lot of MAC football because they're always on Tuesdays on ESPN.
It's good. It's actually been some fun football.
Yeah.
They've had some nice games. The Bowling Green Toledo game was a fun game to watch.
Didn't Central Michigan come and beat a Big 12 team or Big 10 team after that?
I have no idea.
That's not.
Was that your five picks, by the way?
No, I got one more.
Okay.
And this one, Utah -4 against Arizona. They're 8-2 against the number.
At home, Utah.
Yeah, that's at home. And I feel like that's a team that everybody's just been undervaluing all year.
They have a great defense, very physical defense.
I watched them play against Oregon, and they didn't cover in that game. Oregon covered in that game.
They should have.
Yeah.
They should have.
They should have. Yeah. And I just think they're better than people. I think people think right now they're like mid-major Utah, but I think it's a legitimate Pac-12 program.
No, they're a very good team. Yeah. Very good.
So
I like that pick.
There's my picks.
Nobody picked it, but where are you guys on the record for the Iowa game? Iowa +10
Wisconsin.
Against Wisconsin.
Wisconsin.
You think Wisconsin rolls?
I like Iowa. Iowa typically does pretty good against those traditional power formation offenses. The only thing that scares me is Melvin Gordon is so good about getting outside the edge. Mm-hmm. He's like that base runner when they round the base and go for a double and turn it into a triple that doesn't lose any speed. And it's just a beautiful thing to watch.
Yep.
He's the same thing when he goes off tackle on the outside and he doesn't lose any speed. He is unbelievable to watch. But Iowa and Wisconsin, they typically, whether Wisconsin's better or Iowa's better, that's typically always a close game.
I really liked it at 9.5. I'm not crazy about taking that at 10.
Typically a close game, and then what does Iowa do? Do they load the box, 9 in the box, trying to stop it? Because Wisconsin doesn't pass the ball very well. I would lean towards Iowa. I hate to say that, but that's where I would lean.
Yeah, I really don't give two craps, but man, I watched pretty much that whole Wisconsin game last week. It's hard for me to get that out of my mind. I always had some trouble stopping the run, too.
I'll tell you, though, for sure, though, if I had to watch one of the games, Iowa State or Iowa, I'd want to watch Iowa this week just to see how they stop Gordon. And it's just that game's more intriguing to me than Iowa State, Texas Tech.
Yeah.
I don't blame you.
Gordon and Marcus Mariota are two appointment TV to me.
Yeah.
I mean, two best players in the country.
Yeah, I would give Gordon the edge.
Yeah.
Because I feel like he's doing more like Mariota's good, but that's a great system he's into.
Have you seen the line for Wisconsin? That line's fantastic.
Big boys.
You think Aaron Wimberly would like to run behind that line?
He'd be good.
He
wouldn't be Gordon.
No.
But, I mean, he'd be a good player.
You know, what really bothers me is when I hear people say what's going to hurt Gordon in the NFL is Monte Ball not having success and Ron Dayne. I don't understand why that matters for him. He's a different player.
Different coaches.
Different coaching, everything. But people are going to be hesitant about him being a good NFL player because...
How can you compare him to Ron Dayne? Who did that?
Because they think it's a system of Wisconsin being a running team and having these big offensive linemen that open up all these holes, and then these guys get to the NFL and they stink, which personally, I look at Melvin Gordon. And I think he could be the best running back in the NFL in 2-3 years.
There's something to be said for past trends, for sure, but it's usually more indicative of a system. So a spread quarterback is not as good in the NFL.
Yeah.
Because the spread quarterbacks, they barely have plays. I mean, it's just they kind of know where their guys are going, and so they haven't fared well in the NFL.
No. And I disagree. You love Mariota, right?
In the
NFL?
I personally think he is up there with Andrew Luck as one of the best quarterbacks that will come out of college in the last 10 years.
Oh, man.
I think he's that good.
I don't know. I may have agreed with you a year ago, but the more I watch, I'm less sold. Not on him. Just the more I watch these spread guys in the NFL, I don't think this is going to be around in 10 years.
He doesn't need to run, though. He doesn't throw interceptions. He doesn't make mistakes.
He's not Robert Griffin.
Yeah. And he's big. Where he could take a hit, Robert Griffin can't take a hit.
Yeah.
Russell Wilson, you're afraid about getting hit a little bit. He's short. Mm-hmm. Marcus Mariota, 6'3". He's a big guy.
I don't know. I think I'm a little skewed, too, because I was listening to sports talk radio. Rich Eisen had some guy on, and they were talking about Mariota, and I think they skewed me on him just a little bit. Some guy was really anti-Marcus Mariota for some reason.
Well, there's still that Pac-12 thought process.
The reality is people don't know. They don't know. I mean, everyone's like, RG3 is the second coming. And
Ryan Leaf.
He kind of sucks. Yeah. Leaf sucks. But anyway, if we need a good segue into basketball, my milk's finished. So
you already crushed that milk.
Which has nothing to do with basketball at all. It's just a good subject changer.
You need to smash it against your head right now. Yeah, man.
In 38 minutes, you crushed the milk.
Empty carton.
38 minutes.
I could have more, too.
That's insane.
Yeah, I love it.
Have you ever done the gallon challenge?
I haven't. Just here's why. Because I think I could do it because I love milk so much.
Puke everywhere.
But the theory is, yeah, if I puked, then I might not like milk anymore, and it's not worth it to me to do it. The cinnamon challenge is also fun. Have you seen someone do that? Have you done it yourself?
No.
The cinnamon challenge. So the challenge is a spoon, like a good spoonful of cinnamon. Just, you know, cinnamon, the type you'd put on top of a cake or something, you know, the red cinnamon stuff. Almost, not impossible, because nothing's impossible, but almost impossible to swallow a mouthful of cinnamon because it just coats your throat. It was really, really dry. Spend 20 minutes on YouTube tonight looking at the cinnamon challenge, and people just like spew this out of their mouth like dragon fire.
All right.
and they cough, and it is hilarious watching these.
We should do, whoever loses picks has to do the cinnamon challenge.
The cinnamon challenge.
Videotape it.
Yeah, it is.
See, this is how you get ratings up on a podcast right here.
Yeah.
I am not in for that bet because I have no desire to spoon full cinnamon in my mouth.
You guys have to watch the videos, though. I mean, there's no shortage of them at all, but it is really funny.
Are we going to do bets for – we have to do college basketball bets.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah. Sure.
That's where I'm at.
They're going to have to be weekend games, right? You got to pick through Saturday, Sunday.
I would think so. Okay.
By the way, I'm going on record that Kentucky will win the national championship right now.
You're really going out on a limb, Mark.
Oh, jeez, man. Talk about basketball. Did you guys watch the game in full?
No, not in full. I quit watching.
Okay, so they basically, for anyone out there listening that hasn't seen Kentucky yet, and I'm sure there's a few people, Kentucky basically has two starting fives.
Mm-hmm.
Two starting fives. They're rotating them.
It's a line change every
5 minutes. And then the crazy stat was they were saying 9 of the 10 guys are McDonald's All-Americans. 9 of the 10.
Yeah.
I mean, these guys, it's basically, and most of those guys will probably be in the NBA next year.
Yep.
So it's essentially an NBA team.
Yeah. I don't care what anyone tells me. They could beat the 76ers, period.
I haven't seen the Sixers, but I've heard it's just a total train wreck.
Yeah, I'm not saying they'd beat them every time, but they play 10 games. Kentucky'd get them.
What did I see today? There was like a line that came out on that.
Someone said 17.5.
The Sixers would be favored.
Yeah, yeah. I'll take Kentucky in the points, please.
Do you think
Do you think
Kentucky has any chance in a long season? I get that, but any chance, considering their depth and their talent, to go undefeated this year?
Absolutely.
You see it happen?
There's been a lot of talk about that. The fact that they play in the SEC, I mean, the SEC is garbage.
Yeah.
It's like the Big Ten in basketball.
Yeah.
You know, the Big Ten football compared to the SEC in basketball is how I would compare it.
Yeah.
I don't know.
No, I'm not saying they will, but I think they absolutely have a very real possibility just
I would say no. The only reason I say that is just the percentages, they're going to flip up
but
somewhere.
But see, normally you're like, okay, someone's going to have an off night. You get 2-3 guys that have an off night.
I get it.
Well,
yeah.
you got 7 more guys that would have to have an off night. I mean, they're so deep.
And
it's ridiculous.
Long. I mean, they're so tall. If they were an NBA team, they'd be the second tallest team in the NBA.
That's crazy.
Yeah. I don't know.
I like Duke a lot. They were my pick before the season began to win it all.
They're
Okafor.
He's good player.
He's fantastic.
I'm like everybody. I don't really like Duke.
Yeah.
But I think it'd be cool if Calipari would win it this year. Or not Calipari, if Krzyzewski. Yeah.
See, I like Duke a lot. I don't think Duke can compete with Kentucky, but I think Arizona can beat Kentucky. I like Arizona.
And then
a lot.
I think Duke could beat Arizona.
It's a matchup game.
That's all the tournament is.
Yep.
That's all the tournament is. Tournaments, Iowa State is going to play in one next week. We'll be there. Well, I will.
I will be there.
You're going, Mark.
I'm going. I'll be there for both games. Yeah. Are you on press row?
Yes.
Can I come down and say hi?
Yeah, come down and say hi. We'll get a beer afterwards.
There you go.
Will you be out? Where are you staying at?
Well, my sister lives down there. We're staying at a hotel near her. But like a beer at
you're gonna have to wait a little.
Power and Light.
Yeah, but I gotta work afterwards, so we're gonna have to. You'll be out for a while though, right?
We'll figure it out. More so on Tuesday night.
Okay.
Than Monday night.
Well, that'll be. Probably me too.
Is there Tuesday night? Is there just the championship game or consolation game too?
No, you got two games both nights.
Both nights. Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
No, it'll be good basketball. I think that it's not very sexy, the teams that are in there for Iowa State, but still, these are high major programs.
Mm-hmm.
These are teams actually, if you do a little digging, minus Arizona State, they stink. But Alabama and Maryland actually have some talent.
Yeah.
Now, I don't know if those coaches and Grant and Turgeon are going to be able to pull it together, but these aren't depleted basketball teams. Bama is, you know, Anthony Grant I'm less sold on, but I think Maryland could potentially give Iowa State a game on a neutral floor early in the season. You know, I think it'll be a fun round of basketball for the Cyclones. I think they win them both, but it'll be fun.
It looks good on a poster because at least the teams, it's not like Green Bay, Wisconsin.
Yeah, they're not directional
Green
schools.
Bay. Yeah, it's like they're actual teams you've heard of. But no, I'm excited to see it. Iowa State actually doesn't play a lot of basketball coming up. They got basically a week between games and then about another week between games after that, I think. So get in the basketball while you can. But what did you guys think of the last two games they played? I watched them both, and I think they look, you know, they're coming together. But
I thought
they look great.
Friday was last Friday, a week from today, was exactly what they needed to get ready for Georgia State, because they were really bad defensively, and I know that Fred really preached that. And I thought they played with so much urgency defensively. To hold Georgia State to 59 points is impressive.
Yeah.
After they scored 115 the game before.
They got dudes who can score. And they looked kind of like they were playing street ball out there. It wasn't very organized, but they still have some ballers out there.
I know people are kind of thinking that Hunter kid was overrated because he went 8 for 20. I thought the opposite. I thought that kid's fantastic.
Dude, some of the shots that he hit.
He's fantastic.
BDGA was in his face and Naz was. I mean, he actually impressed me even more.
And you know how hard it is to get good quality shots when the other team knows you are the offense, like you are the guy they got to stop. Mm-hmm. You imagine you put him on an NBA roster where all his job is to do is to stand in the corner and shoot threes.
Yeah.
That guy's going to make a lot of money in the NBA playing 10, 15 years just as a shooter.
Yeah.
He's 6'6".
That's a good point. Yeah.
Who have you guys been most impressed with as far as an individual player goes? Obviously, we're only through two games. You got a lot of candidates.
Mm-hmm.
If you had to pick kind of your star so far, just based on everything, who would you go with?
Monte Morris for me.
Yeah, I mean, Monte last game, if you take both games combined, I'd probably say Dustin Hogue, who maybe surprised me the most.
Hogue's a beast.
I'll make this point. I actually fully expected it from Hogue this year. I'm more of a Dustin Hogue guy, I think, than most people are. But to me, I mean, he's just bringing it with energy. I mean, he did that last year, but now it stands out more because he doesn't have Melvin and DeAndre competing for rebounds.
Mm-hmm. He looks so much more smooth out there than he did at this time last year.
Absolutely.
And you know what's fun about him? He is so athletic, and with how Iowa State is, the other team's got to put a big on him.
Yeah.
No big is quick enough to keep up with him. When he did that spin move in the lane, I mean, that's unguardable. For a big guy, you can't guard that. And he's so good at finishing down low. When we get everyone back as a team, we're going to have a lot of options. And I think there could be one night where it's Niang, one night it's Morris. We could have seven different guys at some point this year lead our team in scoring.
You know what I don't like? And Chris, you'd know this because you're the expert on all things Cyclones. When McKay comes back.
Use that term loosely.
Yeah, so when McKay comes back, the assumption is, if he hasn't already, that Naz leaves the starting lineup to give him the spot. So Naz won't be starting once McKay's in. Is that correct in your opinion?
I think Matt Thomas will eventually start.
Do you?
Over Naz, because I think they like Naz's energy off the bench. It's kind of a Tyrus McGee.
My worry is the lack of 3-point shooting without him in there. I like Naz.
Well,
he's our best 3-point guy.
I don't even know if McKay will start.
Really?
Because Fred's whole philosophy, if you talk to him about it, he doesn't care who starts.
Yeah.
His is all about, like, I want my second rotation when I make my first round of subbing to be just as strong.
Yeah.
And I don't know if he'll start, you know, Niang, McKay, and Hogue all together. And you're not benching Hogue or Niang. So I feel like McKay coming in I don't know. I mean, he's got to play around. I don't think Fred knows.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't think it's just like and that's not a slight at McKay.
Yeah.
McKay will still probably play more than some of those guys.
Yeah.
Kind of like we've seen in the past. But I think Naz is very comfortable as a sixth man. I think he likes it, actually.
I
don't know about Matt Thomas, but my guess would be if you had asked Fred right now, who would you rather have as your starter? It'd probably be Thomas, but Long would still play more minutes than Thomas, if that makes any sense.
Because based on last year, I would rather have Naz play than Thomas
and
play.
That's the thing, though. I think Naz is so comfortable in that six-man role that they've kind of bred for him.
Yeah.
And I think Thomas will be like a 15-minute-a-game guy where Naz will probably play.
He just went through struggles last year, and that's in my mind, that Thomas wasn't everything that we thought he was going to be. Yeah. So hopefully this year is better. And then obviously
I think he will be.
Throw Nader into the mix, it gets even more confusing.
I would have agreed with you until Monday night that Naz would be coming off the bench, maybe, and Thomas or someone else would go. But when they put Naz on the Hunter, their best player, mm-hmm. and he did a really good job defending, mm-hmm. I now am of the belief that Long will start all year because
they're
going to put him on. Well, I say that, and then all of a sudden Bryce Ajen Jones went on Hunter, and he did even a better job guarding him than Long did. So
I don't know. You know, that was one showing for Naz, and it was impressive, but I thought he was equally as bad defensively in the first game.
Yeah.
Yeah, he was.
He was bad. I just need to see more.
It's just that the three-pointer is such a weapon, and he's the best guy on the team. I feel it.
I think
threes.
That Thomas will give him a run for his money.
Well, hopefully, because that means the program.
Thomas is
successful.
Better than he looked last year, and he wasn't as bad as people thought he was last year too.
You know, people just forget.
At the end of the year, he looked very uncomfortable.
Yeah.
Yeah.
His confidence was shot.
Yeah.
He'd get it back.
Freshman, whatever, et cetera. But Nader, though, too. I mean, where do you see him coming in?
Nader is such a wild card. I mean, I think there'll be a game or two where you're like, man, this guy's like all Big 12.
Yeah.
And then I think there'll be a game where he plays 5 minutes because he does so many boneheaded things when he's out. I think he's going to be an important stretch of basketball for him.
Mm-hmm.
Because, as we've talked about leading into the season, it's a deal where there are only so many minutes to go around.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like he and McKay coming in, I think he needs to really prove himself before McKay is eligible.
Yeah. Yeah.
Did you, I think it was maybe Naz or Monte said this, that when talking about Nader and him coming back, said he does everything that George can do as far as versatility inside and outside. He just does it being more athletic.
Yeah.
You listen to that and you kind of, you can't help but be really excited.
Abdul Massey, I asked him to compare Nader to anybody.
Yeah.
And he's called him a little bit of a Royce White, that type of a guy.
Yeah.
Except he can shoot. He's a better shooter. I just think he's really hot and cold, guys. I think that he's going to play the role of hero a game or two this year. But then there might be games where he plays 5 minutes, from what I understand.
Hmm. And that's fine with this team, I think, because I think they have enough depth. If he doesn't have an A game, we'll be okay.
He's going to play.
Yeah.
I don't know. He's the wild card on this team.
You're kind of comparing him right now, I guess, a little bit to Clyburn. Clyburn could have some phenomenal games, and then he could also have a 0 point performance against Iowa.
Yeah, I think that's fair. Except that I don't think Nader will ever be asked to be the man.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I think he's going to be asked to be a guy. And Clyburn, for the most part, was the man, I thought, on that team.
What is the, I'll quiz you. I know you know this. How do you pronounce the Greek's name?
Salboris.
Salboris. That's way easier than what it looks like on the jersey.
Oh, dude, time I write it, I have to pull out the media guy.
What I can tell you for sure is he won't be playing a lot this year.
He's a project.
He got in. That kid is skinny and just kind of looked a little.
We all have arms bigger than Mr. Salboris.
Hopefully he turns into something good, but he looked a little awkward in those 2 minutes he's played this season.
I wish they could redshirt him, and they can, but I don't think that they will.
Why wouldn't they, though? They don't.
I think it's a recruiting thing. You don't want to bring a kid over from Greece just to
sit.
Yeah. I don't know. I haven't asked anybody that.
Yeah.
That would be my guess.
And if they redshirt him, then he wouldn't travel with the team.
Yeah.
Right? I think that's a big deal,
too. They need him to get acclimated to living in America.
Mm-hmm.
That was the biggest thing for him. It's like, oh, man, I've got McDonald's and, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, I think it was he had to learn to eat differently. He's learning a new language. You know, everything is just so different for him. I think being around his teammates is the best thing for him, other than, you know, going on a road trip to Lubbock and leaving him in his dorm.
Going around campus looking for the Euro shops. We just don't have as many of those, unfortunately. But
the Euro stand? Oh, my gosh.
They do have that. Do they still have that on Welch?
Do bears crap in the woods? Every time I'm in.
By the way, if you did not go to Iowa State, if you're listening to this and you did not go to Iowa State, and if you did go to Iowa State, if you did not go out
tavern
and get drunk and close down the bars, then you're going, what is the Euro stand they're talking about? Heaven on earth.
Were you a Euro or a Super Dog man?
I was a Euro.
Yeah. See, I always say you can tell a lot about a man if he was a Euro or Super Dog guy.
I was a Euro.
To me, I'm gonna catch hell for this. I thought the Super Dogs were gross.
Really?
Yeah, I couldn't do the Super Dogs.
I'll be honest with you. I never had one. Never. I'd get the Euro every time. So
yeah.
I can't back you up if they were gross or not.
Did you do the hummus or did you do the chicken Euro?
Not a big hummus guy. I did the chicken with the sauce, whatever the sauce is.
The like cucumber type sauce? The cucumber ranch?
The feta cheese.
Oh, man.
Loved it.
But we should go up there and do that.
I'll tell you what, though. Does food ever taste better than when you would leave the bar at 2 a.m.
No.
And you're just drunk, frankly.
Yes.
And you're starving, and yes, you get, no matter what it was, it was just so, so good.
So when I was in college, in the year after college, I was 30 pounds heavier.
Really?
Than I am right now.
Yeah.
I was up to 200.
What were you doing? Just beer?
Well, so I would go to Friday after class.
Yeah.
And we would go to Chasers.
Yeah.
At 3:30.
That says how much younger you are than me, by the way, because when I was there, it was Peoples. You'd go to Peoples. Peoples didn't exist.
No,
anymore.
No. Listen up, bro.
All right.
So we would go to Chasers.
Yeah.
Because they had quarter draws.
Okay.
At 3:30.
Yeah.
And then at like 5, we'd mosey on over to Peoples.
So it was there at least.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Well, yeah. Because I think we were the last year, and then it shut down and turned into something else or whatever. And, you know, we're drinking straight from 3, just beer, just crushing beers from 3 until like 7 o'clock.
Yep.
And then we would go to that Chinese place, that Coast.
Yeah.
And
I've eaten there.
We'd crush like a Chinese meal.
Yeah.
And then we'd go back to Lumpy's.
Yeah.
Remember Lumpy's Chasers?
Oh, yeah.
For more quarter draws.
Yeah.
Crush more beer until 2. And then we would just, I would buy like 2 euros and just, I mean, think about the amount of calories from the 3 o'clock until 2 in the morning. I would probably be taking in like a week's worth of calories.
11 hours of drinking and eating crappy.
This was every Friday.
A buddy of mine, we were waiting for a buddy. He was down in Lumpy's hitting on a girl. So my buddy and I decided to charge cover at Lumpy's.
I love it.
So
I love it.
To get into Lumpy's, you'd be at like you'd have to go down a set of stairs from the street. So my buddy and I are just kind of waiting for him up top, and just on a whim, I think he may have started it. Someone comes in, it's like, yeah, it's covered at $5. And we probably got 10, 11, 12 people to pay it before my buddy finally came up the stairs. So that was a good college memory.
Oh, that's good stuff.
Yeah.
That's good stuff.
For those of you who are like, what's Lumpy's? Well, again, that doesn't exist either anymore.
But we rented out Peoples.
There was no cover at Lumpy's.
No, Lumpy's was the ultimate dive bar.
That was like people would literally urinate in the corner of that bar. They didn't want to go to the actual bathroom.
This is true.
Yeah.
This is very true.
Yeah.
We actually had like 10 of us. We had a graduation party at Peoples.
Yeah.
That was fun.
Yeah.
And then the after party, we had like... We kept buying kegs throughout the day because it got a little out of control. And then we had a bunch of leftover beer.
Yeah.
And they let us just take it down to Lumpy's, and we just crushed it that
night. Isn't it amazing, too? You lose sight of this once you're an adult and pay adult prices for things, how cheap you could drink in college if you wanted to.
Get drunk for $10. You're hammered.
Yeah, I know. Quarter draws and stuff. It's just absolutely
good days.
Absolutely ridiculous.
Well, hopefully some folks listening to this are college kids walking to class, and they're going to do their FAC responsibly. Of course. Mm-hmm. Yeah, we have to throw that. You talk about as much beer as we just did, you got to throw in
It's called Cyride, people.
Yeah.
Hop on board.
Use it. Yep. I actually have my in-laws live out by, it used to be called Sterling University, those apartments.
I live there.
Oh, you live out there?
Yeah, 2 years I lived there.
All right.
Yeah.
But I always, like, we stay there on Friday nights a lot before home games because I'm on the radio so early in the morning.
Yeah.
Especially like 11, and I'm always like driving out there and I just see the kids getting on the drunk bus.
Oh, yeah.
I'm just like, man, I long for those days.
I did maintenance out there, so I didn't pay rent. I like just worked like 10 hours a week, and that covered my rent. Part of the responsibilities in the summer was I had to shut down the pool at night. So good luck like shutting down like the hot tub and the pool when like people are drunk and not wanting to leave.
That's a good time, Sterling pool.
I came up with the ingenious thing because by that point, it was 11 o'clock, I think, and I would just have to shut down the hot tub because people were out of the pool by then and just kind of soaking in the hot tub. And all the time I'd get, oh, come on, just let us stay. We don't want to leave. And I didn't want to put up with that. So I had chemicals that I had to put in like nightly
start
to close it down.
Them in.
So I would just be like, hey, you guys are welcome to stay if you want. And I'd dump a huge cup load of stuff right in there. I said, in about 5 minutes, your skin's going to turn green. But if you want to hang out, that's totally up to you. No one ever stayed. They would get the heck out of there as I just dumped chemicals all around them. So
how much fun was the Sterling pool? The Sterling University pool.
It was crazy.
Oh, man.
It was crazy.
My best friend lived out there, and That was a hoot.
There was a few times we were there after hours, and there might have been some girls and some bras and panties.
That's what Daddy's talking about. Yes. Yeah. That's what I'm talking about.
Rumor has it.
Have you ever...
Time out. Can we get you to stop with the daddy comments? Yes.
No.
You're getting old enough now where daddy sounds creepy.
It does.
Daddy-like. Long time.
Yeah, I probably should work on that. I'm going to be a father for crying out loud.
My wife yelled at me the other day because I have a 5-month-old little girl, and she was staring at me very intently like, oh, I love my daddy. And I made some comment about, oh, you know, she's my girlfriend. Look how much she loves me. And it just drives my wife nuts that I refer to my little daughter as my girlfriend. and then she talked to someone else. And was like, yeah, my husband does it too. Something about having a little girl. It's like, oh, yeah, she's my little girlfriend. It's just weird. It is kind of creepy.
I don't think it's weird.
I'll grant you that, but it's just, I don't know. It's just what comes out.
I don't think it's weird. Have you played golf at Coldwater?
Absolutely, yeah.
They've got like that pool where there's always young...
Right next to the number one.
Yeah, you're teeing off and there's all these young co-eds like partying in this pool.
Yep.
Yeah, that'd be the place. I actually think our intern lives there.
That's the distraction.
Oh, does he?
Yeah, I think our intern lives there.
Maybe we should get an invite this summer. Yeah.
There's nothing like trying to tee off at noon on a summer day when right behind you on the tee box are screaming girls and girls in bikinis.
They're like
stuff.
Playing sand volleyball in bikinis.
It makes for a peaceful tee off spot.
Yeah, well, at least I have an excuse at that point for my golf game being as horrible as it is. All right.
That's why you're always hitting those duck hooks in the pool, huh?
Then I got to go look for my ball.
And say, daddy likes.
You guys see a mojo around here?
Daddy like.
All right, we're at an hour. Mark Charter Real Estate, will you be at the game on Saturday? Or are you going to stay home?
I'm not going to that game. No. No, absolutely
Gray, are you going to go? Are you going to work or are you going to... Yeah. Stay at home.
Well, I'm trying to go. So my wife is going down to Kansas City with her friend for a little Christmas shopping getaway.
Booyah.
So I got the boys, which...
Why are they going to Kansas City? They got malls here in Des Moines.
It's a girls' getaway, and I'm fine with it.
They don't have the plaza. The plaza in Kansas City.
Yeah, she's going to the plaza. So, you know, I want to go with the boys, but... We'll see.
All right.
We rename this podcast? We were talking about that earlier. Can we rename it Daddy Likes This Podcast? I kind of, that has a nice ring to it. Daddy Likes This Podcast.
Daddy Likey. All right. Thanks, everybody, for listening. Mark, we appreciate it. We will see you. Well, we will do something next week, hopefully, because we've got Thanksgiving.
Yep.
So we're going to figure something out, but we'll have an FAW, but it'll be a really weird... It won't be an FAW because there won't be anybody at class or work next Friday. Mm-hmm. But nonetheless, we'll have a podcast for you in some way, shape, or form. For Mark Charter, for Adam Gray, I'm Chris Williams. Signing off. Have a good weekend, everybody.